sir, you too, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, then Herod privily called the wise men and learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. It is written, and he said unto them, go and search out exactly concerning the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word, that I also may come and worship him. It is written, and they having heard the king went their way, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them and came and stood over the place where the young child was. It is written, and they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee this night. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the star. In Matthew chapter 2, the star is mentioned four times. The first time, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. The second time, when Herod called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. The third time is when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. Then the fourth time, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men saw the star while they were in the east. The gospel song says it for us. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king. It is to be remembered that the first question that God asked of the first Adam in the Old Testament in the Garden of Eden was, Adam, where art thou? And the first question that he asked of the second Adam in the New Testament was by the wise men, and they said, Where is he? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They called Jesus the king, and he was the king. For one thing, he was born a king. He is called the king while he was in the cradle. Not only was he recognized as the king in the cradle, he was also called the king on the cross, and also king at his coming again. In the imagery of Revelation, he is seen at his return on a white horse, and on his thigh it was written, King of kings and Lord of lords. The wise men wanted to find the king. It seems they had gotten off the track. They wound up in Jerusalem and not Bethlehem. They went to King Herod thinking that he might know. Where is the newborn king? The wise men needed more light on the subject. Herod called in the scribes and asked them about it, about this king. The scribes knew exactly where to find the information. In the Old Testament, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, they quoted part of the scripture to King Herod. They said, In Bethlehem, land of Judah, for thus it is written through the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. Herod asked a Bible question, and he got a Bible answer. But he did not get all the answer, because the scribes knew better than to tell him the entire prophecy Micah had said. They left off the part about the governor, who would be from everlasting to everlasting. If they had referred to his divinity, to King Herod, they might have lost their heads. Many are like the wise men today. They are seeking for Jesus sincerely, but looking for him in the wrong place. They also need more light. They also are somewhat off the track. Some today try to find Jesus in such places as the cross on which the thief died. They need more light. The thief lived and died before Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead. He lived and died under the old law. The only way you could be saved like the thief would be to go back in time before Jesus died for you. You need more light. Some try to find him in the place of prayer, thinking they can pray their way to salvation. Saul of Tarsus could not find salvation by prayer, even after praying 3 days and three nights. He needed more light. He had seen a great light, and the light told him to go to Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. There was something that he needed to do. Not until Ananias came and told this believing, repentant man to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins did he find salvation. Many, like the wise men, are looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was all shook up. shook up by a baby. Jesus had not yet worked one single miracle, and Herod was all shook up. He had not yet raised the dead or preached a single sermon, and Herod was all shook up. No word had been spoken to a lost and dying world, and Herod was all shook up. Herod was all shook up by the Lord in his cradle. What will it be like when he sees him, as Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." When Jesus came the first time, aside from a very few, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, Anna and Simeon, most everyone else was troubled at his arrival. How would it be with you if he would return today? If he should come today, would I be glad, real glad, knowing that he died for all, and none through me had heard his call? What would he say? The second time the star is mentioned, Herod called unto him the wise men privately, and asked them what time the star appeared. Herod obviously believed the scripture. He believed that the Christ had come, but believing it, he had no intentions of accepting the truth and applying it to his life. What the Lord wanted did not fit Herod's lifestyle, and there is many a Herod today. He inquired what time the star appeared, and sent them to find out exactly concerning the young child. Neither Herod nor the scribes went with the wise men. They knew and believed the scripture, but there was a gap between their knowledge and their performance. The prophecy said that the newborn king would be a governor of his people. That was the breakdown between their knowledge and their performance. Herod did not want a king over him. It is the same problem now. In the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter laid it on the line when he said in the 36th verse of the second chapter of Acts, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." People today want a Savior, they want a Messiah, but they don't want a Lord. Jesus not only wants to be your Savior, he wants to be your Lord as well. He wants to be able to tell you what to do, what to say, how to live. He wants to give thrust to our lives. If we tell the world we believe the Scripture teaches the observance of the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper, may there be no gap in our belief and our performance. Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he's not born in thee, thy soul is still forlorn. And now the third mention of the star was, having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them and came and stood over the place where the young child was. Many explanations have been given regarding the star. One of the most popular is that there was a conjunction of planets about that time, of the planets Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. They supposedly were lined up in such a way as to look like one gigantic star. This explanation just won't work. Suppose that all the planets in our solar system were lined up in such a way as to form one gigantic superstar. Think of Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and all the rest, so arranged in the heavens that they look like one glorious celestial light. There would be one glaring reason why such a light could not have guided the wise men. Even such a star like that would stand over any house without discrimination. It would stand over every house in Bethlehem and Jerusalem, and over every house in all the area. There is no way that such a heavenly sight could fit the scriptural account, the star that they saw in the east, that went before them and stood over the place where the young child was. There is no way that astronomy today can find the star that guided the wise men. It was a special star used of God for this great event of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even could the star be found with the Hubble telescope that was first used in 1996. By using this telescope, the astronomers were astonished to see stars they had never seen before. But they never saw the star that guided the wise men. They used to say there were about 10 billion galaxies. Now they have upped the ante and are saying make it 50 billion galaxies. Each galaxy, they say, has 50 billion to 100 billion stars. We have come to the conclusion that we need to think of the Bible and the church in a similar way. By looking through the telescope of faith, we can see the bright and morning star. By looking through the telescope of faith, we can see that the importance of the Bible and the church are far greater, wider, deeper, richer than we ever dreamed or thought of or surmised before. It reaches up to the highest point of the third heaven. It reaches down to the lowest point of hell. It reaches out to the east and the west, and that distance is immeasurable because never the twain shall meet. The Hubble telescope cannot see that far. Then, too, we have to admit we have been short-sighted regarding this radio broadcast. In the United States, it is heard from sea to shining sea. In addition to this, it is heard in many parts of Africa, Europe, and Asia. But by taking another look through the telescope of faith, we now know that it is heard in the third heaven. Think of it. It is heard by an innumerable host of angels, not to mention the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then, too, the telescope of faith, turn it in another direction, and you can see that the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places are hearing it also. The devil hears this program every week. And if he's too busy to listen, he gets a full report every Monday morning from whatever demon has been assigned to ride herd on me. Now, at this point, the wise men had a problem, some great mystery they could not understand. It must have baffled them no end. I refer to the statement that the star stood over the place where the young child was. Think of their amazement as they knocked on the door. Joseph opens and welcomes them, and the wise men say, "Is this it? Is this the place?" Joseph says, "Yes, you have come to the right place." One of the wise men, I've forgotten which one, said, "This doesn't look like the right place. On all the Christmas cards I have received, there should be a manger and some cattle and some shepherds. And why isn't the choir singing Silent Night and Holy Night?" It was at this point that Joseph told them, "If you gentlemen want to get your spiritual guidance from Christmas cards, no wonder you had a hard time finding us. The shepherds have been here and are long gone. maybe a couple of years ago. We moved out of the stable and have been at this house for some time now. The star went before them and stood over the place where the young child was. The star did not go past Bethlehem, nor did it fall short of Bethlehem, nor did it go to the right or the left of Bethlehem. It came to the right place, smack dab on the spot over the house where the young child was. And ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the fourth mention of the star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The fourth mention of the star is when they saw that star and rejoiced. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then they offered unto him gifts, a rattle, a pacifier, a teddy bear. Who in their right mind would give any child gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What could a child as Jesus do with gifts like that? Do you really believe they gave him that stuff? Perhaps as we read what they really gave, we ought to revamp our giving ideas. The reason they gave what they gave was because they were really wise men. Unknown to them, the gold would be used to finance a hurried trip to Egypt to escape the wrath of King Herod. So today, how about giving young people a good example? One high school student who came to school drunk was asked how she got booze to get drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. She said she got it out of the refrigerator at home. That may be the best gift some of you could give to your kids. Pour your booze down the drain. How about giving yourself something as a stocking stuffer, some self-respect? But the greatest gift of all is the gift of yourself. An example of the kind of giving that counts is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this they did regarding the poor churches of Macedonia, who gave beyond their means. Some today live beyond their means, but these gave beyond their means. The secret of their generosity was, Paul said, they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. The greatest gift you can give is the gift of yourself. And those are the four times the star is mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. We saw his star in the east. What time the star appeared? The star went before them, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to these words. Christmas comes but once a year, with bells and carols bright, bringing peace and joy so dear, and scattering God's holy light. What a great place this old world would be if all people would only agree to keep the spirit of Christmas glowing the whole year through. Heart to heart and hand in hand, our God is always near. He's a rock, not shifting sand, each moment and all through the year. His great love is not just for a day, but his mercy is with us to stay. So keep the spirit of Christmas glowing the whole year through. Summer, winter, spring, and fall, God gives to us his love, showering blessings down on all and tenderly washing above. What a change in our lives we would see if more godlike, we'd promise to be, and keep the spirit of Christmas glowing the whole year through. Keep goodwill and your kindness showing. God wants you to. Take time out from your daily care. See God's glory around everywhere. And keep the spirit of Christmas glowing the whole year through. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.